Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. This week, we have a lovely guest by the name of Ambrosia Matthews. Ambrosia is a psychic medium and a channel who has been able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits since the age of 5. She has been working as a professional intuitive since 2018, offering psychic medium readings to help people heal, gain clarity, and connect with their loved ones in spirit. Additionally, Ambrosia is a channel for a collection of Arcturian energy referred to as the Arc 9. She shares her wisdom, intuitive insights, and humor through a podcast called Inner Bloom that she hosts with her best friend, Alexa Hauser. Thank you so much for being here today, Ambrosia.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're a psychic medium and you're a channeler. I like to start at the beginning in terms of your childhood. Can you share when you first started having experiences of interacting with ghosts, seeing what we call ghosts or spirits? Did you know that they were deceased loved ones, or what were you know, the experiences like?
So I have very real memories of being around four or five years old and hearing people in my room. I could hear people ask me, can you help me? And just talk to me. I would also have the feeling like someone was in the room with me, but obviously no one else would be there. So I would go to my mom and I would cry and I would be like, it feels like I can hear people. I can hear people, different things like that. And she would say to me, unfortunately, she would say, you know, you probably have schizophrenia, or you're probably like, you know, unwell, and don't tell anybody that you do this. Don't tell anybody that you feel this way. Let's just not talk about it. And, I always just had this knowing that it was people that have passed away. It was never a question for me of what's happening here, even when I was really little. So when I was in high school, I started having feelings around it not going away, but getting stronger. And one of my friend's mom was a psychic, and I don't know if she was psychic. She was very religious, but she told me that it was probably because I was evil that this was happening.
Yeah.
And so it just compiled onto all of the other self-doubt that was going on until something happened that nobody could deny. So essentially I went to a party. I was not like a good kid in high school. I partied a lot. And so I grew up in San Diego. So we partied outside. There was a freeway and we were underneath the freeway passing, and it was late at night. And as we were all under there, I remember I was standing there with my friend, and I'm watching like a movie, almost, it felt like a movie in front of me, of a young girl getting pulled over by a police officer. It looked like he had sexually assaulted her and killed her and then thrown her body over the side of the freeway. And based on like the style of car, I could tell what time period I was looking at. And it looks like time had elapsed. And then I saw a man standing on the freeway looking like he was going to jump. And I knew that it was her father. So I'm watching all of this happen and I'm just kind of mesmerized by what I'm seeing. And a boy comes over to me and my friends, and he's like, did you guys hear what happened here? And I said, don't say another word. And I said to my friend, you heard that I did not hear what happened. And she's like, yeah. I said, okay, come over here. So I pulled her to the side. I told her what I just saw. I go, let's go see. So the guy then tells us the same story that I just told her. And she looks at me very scared and shocked and said, how did you know that? And I said, because I'm watching it play out in front of me.
Wow.
And at that point, everybody was like, Okay, she's not making this up. We don't know what's happening, but we know that, like, everybody calls me Ambi. We know that Ambi is like kind of crazy, but like, this is not that, right? So at that point is when people started to believe me and started to kind of feel like, okay, maybe this is something else. They still made fun of me, but they had more, it had more validity behind it.
So they weren't completely freaked out by you in high school. They made fun of you, but they weren't scared to like be friends still? Or did they ever ask you for insight about their lives or their?
No, not in high school. In high school, it was more like, oh, we don't want to go here because there might be dead people, right, Ambie? It was more like that feeling. It was never, I didn't even know, to be honest, that I was psychic until I was in my 30s. I thought it was just dead people. I thought I could only talk to dead people. And then I didn't realize that it was a psychic ability, what I was doing, until I was much older. And I started actually, like, people started mentoring me and talking to me about it.
So what really made you go for it? Because that's a huge time gap. So what really made you want to jump into studying mediumship, you know, embodying like psychic work? Like what pushed you there?
So it's funny because I was terrified of being a psychic and talking to dead people, because I guess in my head, I thought that it was going to be like the sixth sense. I thought it was going to be much, much worse. Right. Yeah. So, I don't remember how old I was. I think it was 29, 30, and I was pregnant. And all of my tricks of getting it to, like, be at bay were getting, it wasn't working. Actually, my abilities were much, much stronger. Everything was amplified. Could it have been because I was pregnant? Maybe. But anyway, my ex-husband at the time told me, like, you should dive into this class. Like, you should take a class. You should talk to somebody. You should figure out how to feel better about this, because it doesn't seem like it's going away. So that's what I did. I actually started working with a shaman, and her and I started talking about, why was I afraid of this? And just my fears coming up around it. What was I afraid was going to happen? Right. And then we reached a point and she was like, you need to work with a psychic medium, because I'm not that. So I started working with a psychic medium, and she really helped, but also really tested my boundaries, and really, it was a very interesting dynamic. And so then I worked with another psychic medium, and she was great. And we worked together for a while, and then I worked with an energy healer. I worked with a lot of different types of intuitives. So
when you first started out on this journey of working with intuitives and, you know, energy healers, shamans, et cetera, were you really scared to open up the door further? Because I imagine that during that process, you must have had an insane amount of experiences or more, even more interactions during that time than you did prior to.
Yeah, I was terrified. I was so scared. I was so scared. And what the shaman and I, like, she's a shaman, but like, we also did like soul retrievals, and we did like past life regressions, and she did a lot of other things with me that at the time I didn't know what we were doing. I just knew, like, I trust you and this is what we're going to do. Right. Mm-hmm. So we went into like past lives of what they would do in a lot of different parts of the world is they would take a child, and they would put the child in like an isolated place, right? So isolated in a cave, isolated somewhere else. And the child that had any kind of reaction to that isolation was going to be the next medicine person, right? So that's this is what the shaman told me. I don't know how true it is, but this is what she told me. And so when we did one of the past life regressions, that's kind of what we figured was, that's what came up for me, was that I was one of those kids. And that's why I was having such a physical reaction to everything going on, because it was still that trauma from a previous life. I don't know. The other part of this is, I remember at the time, I don't do it so much now, but I remember when I looked at people, I guess I do, I could see their face shift. I could see their face change, and it freaked me out. So I actually have a very hard time looking at people in the eyes because their face shifts. And what she was explaining to me was, I say I don't do it now, but I'm noticing I can't look you in the eyes. Anyway, what she was telling me is that what I'm seeing is their soul. I'm seeing their soul emerging, and actually it's shifting my physical, their physical appearance for me. And what she helped me discover was that's a gift, because I have the ability to see who's beneficial and maybe I should stay away from in my life.
Wow. Yeah, that is a very powerful gift, I think. Also scary.
A little scary. Yeah. When you don't know what's going on, it's like, why is your face changing? What's happening here? So
seriously, yeah, I think I would be completely freaked out by that.
Yeah.
I am curious, in terms of being a psychic medium, the types of spirits that you've interacted with. And what I mean is, you know, we kind of have this, you know, we kind of categorize people as good or bad, you know,
right,
like good natured or bad natured. So when you are tapping into, you know, deceased spirit realm, if you want to call it that, have you had experiences from negative, what we would call negative spirits, and what have those interactions kind of looked like?
Yep. So I've had different experiences. I try to protect my energy, and I say try because, you know, when you do 5 readings a day, sometimes things happen. But I usually always remember to, and do I think that people are bad natured? Not really. I have this naive optimism that maybe everybody is good natured, but I have met someone wanted to bring their uncle through, and all of a sudden it felt like I was prey, and I just kind of wanted to stand against the wall and be like very aware of my surroundings. And I remember asking her, was your uncle a bad guy? And she's like, yeah, he was in prison a lot for raping women. Okay. So maybe I don't want to talk to your uncle. Like, what are we doing right now?
Yeah.
There have been other moments where someone wanted to bring someone through, and I know for a fact that he killed his kids.
Oh my God.
Really bad person, right? But it's, again, it's not me to judge that individual or why they want to talk to him. I think the scariest moment that I still am wrapping my brain around years later is I brought this woman was, she was my sitter. I was giving her a reading. She wanted to talk to her dad. This man came through and he had on like a leather smock and he had this like really creepy smile. I mean, really creepy. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't saying anything to me, which is very weird. Because usually they'll tell me how they died. They'll give me some information to it, indicate like who I'm talking to. And he didn't say anything to me. And so I remember saying to him, like, you got to give me something. And he just smiled. And I looked at her, I said to her, is your dad a farmer? Because I was thinking like the leather smock, maybe, yeah. Like, I don't know. And she's like, nope. And I said, okay. And then I said, you got to give me something else. She doesn't know who you are. And he held up a knife. And again, he's smiling. So I said, was he a butcher? And she's like, what do you see? And so I told her, she said, that's not my dad. Get him out of here quickly. So I did. And it turns out that I forget how old she was, but when she was a teenager, she was actually kidnapped by a real life serial killer.
Oh my God.
Only victim that ever got away from him. He's a very famous serial killer. He was put to death row and he has been haunting her ever since.
That is very scary. So what is your take on that in general? I was going to ask you about this later, but I'm curious about your take in terms of what we kind of define as like earthbound spirits. Would you say that that was like an earthbound spirit who is choosing to stay here and not move on?
So I've met that a couple of times where the being, and it's usually human beings, but the being is haunting or not choosing to go, right? They don't mm-hmm. want to. They actually like creating chaos and like instilling fear in you. I've seen that twice. And he was one of them. He was very, very difficult to remove out of my house. My kids, I remember my little girl was probably like 5 at the time. And she came downstairs. He was in the backyard. And she looks in the backyard and she goes, "Mom, why is there a clown in the backyard?" And
I went,
my God. And so I moved her immediately from the window, and by now we all know who it was, but freaked out. Right. And it was terrifying because he was just laughing at the whole thing.
Oh my God. Number one, I hate clowns, but number two, that clown, you know,
yeah.
You're talking about that one.
Yeah. It's very, very scary. Very scary. Yeah. They talk about little boys, but they don't talk about little girls that he tried to get.
Oh my goodness. So what is your take then? I'm curious. So if they choose to stay here, can their spiritual team, their spirit guides or whomever, they can't force them to go, right? They just have to accept that spirit wants to inhabit this realm.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that that's what's going on. It's interesting because it's kind of dealing with another human being for me, right? So sometimes I have the wherewithal to ask on a higher level what's happening here. But when you're in that level of fight or flight, you don't have the ability to be okay, let's look at the bigger picture. Now, since I'm not in that flight or flight state, it's interesting because it's almost like spirit guides, higher beings, things like that around him are not as prevalent as his energy. If that makes sense to you.
Kind of. Can you elaborate just a little bit?
So when I'm giving someone a reading and we're talking psychic, right? I'm communicating with your spirit guides. I'm communicating with other beings that are telling me this, this, and this about you. When I'm communicating with him, he's strictly running on fear. He's running on my fear and wanting to scare me. And that really pleases him, makes him happy. Both physically, you can see it, and it's an energy that you can feel. So the idea of what's the bigger picture here, I mean, I think of that as people want to talk about possessions. I think of that as a possession. That to me is a true possession because you're so disconnected as a being and as an individual that I can't hear your guides. I can't see your guides. There's something else happening, but it's hard to pick up, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, if we want to talk about serial killers and things like that, for me, that's what a true possession looks like.
Yeah, that's very, that's incredibly creepy. I can't even imagine, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, when we pass on and transition, you know, to wherever we're going, do you think that these spirits are in, I guess, the astral realm, whatever this border is between, you know, here and over there? Is that the space you think that they're kind of occupying, all hanging out in that realm?
I would think so. I mean, I've had it because I've had a lot of people ask me a lot of different questions. So then I ask the spirits this. And what it's been explained, how it's been explained to me multiple times, because I think of them like humans, maybe they have more information, maybe they don't, I don't know. But sometimes they're very emotional, like humans, or like living people. But what it's been explained to me is you can communicate with someone while you're in the grocery store, but also someone that's at your house via the phone, right? So you don't have to be in the same physical space as them. And that's how I believe they can be reincarnated and still communicate with me at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So maybe the astral realm is like a cell phone. It's like a cell phone tower of some kind.
Yeah. Okay. I can get that. So in terms of, again, being, you know, a medium, many people are very afraid of dying, you know, it's just pretty natural. So When you have spoken to deceased spirits, like what have they shared about the dying process, if they have shared any like helpful messages?
So what's interesting is I've never had one person, not one person, tell me that it's worse after you die. Everybody, especially in 2020, every single spirit I spoke to was like, are you okay? Are you good? Instead of like, I'm fine. And it was such a shift. It was, make sure my loved ones are okay. Instead of like, I'm fine. So I really think that it only gets better. As far as the dying process, that's different for each person. I have met spirits that are very upset they died. I've met spirits that were not ready to pass. I have met spirits that usually suicidal people or people that have committed suicide that feel a sense of freedom or feel a sense of relief. And they feel like a weight has been lifted on them. They always describe it to me as a feeling of like floating or like a feeling of like the sunshine on your face, just like peace. I've never had someone explain to me anything painful or describe a hell-like state.
Interesting. So do they share where they go?
What's funny is they tried to explain it to me, but I don't know if my brain can understand it. But they it's different for each person. So sometimes they will be with their loved one and they don't want to leave their loved one's side. And they explain to me, nope, I'm like sitting on the couch with them. And other times they'll explain to me, I'm in a field of flowers and I'm relaxing. I'm at the beach. I'm restoring my old car that I wanted to work on. I'm doing all the things that I wanted to do. I'm with a famous celebrity that had passed away that I really admired.
Wow. I mean, yes, I definitely have read stories of, you know, variations of where people go. Mm-hmm. What their experience is definitely like. Have you ever had any, you know, with your past life regressions, have you ever seen like your transitions home and what that has looked like?
So I have, and I did a live in between lives session one time. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching myself die and floating face down and looking at the people around me, around my body, and then getting smaller.
So I do have another question. Like when you're sure. working with deceased, again, with the, you know, deceased spirits, do they ever speak about their next, you know, incarnation here? Do they ever talk about reincarnating, you know, how much time they plan to give themselves before they want to come back? Do they ever speak about like, oh, I'm coming back like very soon or I'm done with Earth?
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on each person, which is interesting. So some people will be like, oh, I'm not doing that again. Yeah. And some people are like, oh, I'm already back. And you're kind of like, that's where the question is, how am I communicating with you if you're back?
Yeah.
Right. How is this happening? Because I think we as human or living people think very linearly. Like if you're here, you can't be here. Right.
Yeah.
But they've described it in a different way. But yeah, I've had people that are very excited and then other people that are like, oh, I'm going to wait for my loved one to join me and then we'll reincarnate together.
Wow. Do they ever speak about like incarnating in a different place as opposed to just Earth?
Yes. So one of the psychic things that I do is I don't do past life regressions per se. Like I don't put you under hypnosis, but I can tell you what you were in a past life. Now, can we prove it? No. But here we go. So some people have asked me that question and I have been shocked to find out like you were a guide in a past life. You weren't human at all. Or okay, you were from a different planet completely, and this is what I'm seeing. So it's interesting. And then I have had spirits explain to me that they're going somewhere else or that they're going to watch over everybody. And that to me is like a guide, if that makes sense.
Do they ever speak about, because I think from my own perception of like your spirit guide, they've had like a lot of lives here and elsewhere. They have a lot of experiences and they're here helping you because they know, you know, how to help you overcome certain lessons, right? Do they ever speak about what it takes to become a spirit guide by chance?
So what I've asked is, I forget what exactly what I asked, but I asked something similar to that. And they explained it in a, it almost looked like a pyramid scheme. Okay. Like that was the visual they showed me. And I was like, so is this like a management system? Like you have to be a supervisor for so many years and then you get to like your next level, you get a star or something. Mm-hmm. And they laughed and they were like, no, it's not like a management system. It's like this. And then they connected all the dots. And I was like, that still seems like a management system to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm new, but so that's how they explained it to me.
Do you ever find that some of your clients or a number of your clients have been spirit guides and then back to human and spirit guides? Like, is this a pattern that you see?
Yeah, it is. And it's just depending upon the person. It's just depending upon, we all have individual things to learn and to gain, right? But it just depends on each person. But yeah, I've seen that a lot. Like, oh, you've done this before several times, or, you know, you're, this is one of your first go rounds as a human. And I know it's tricky. So yeah, I've seen that a lot.
You also conduct celebrity interviews once they passed on. So I would like to know, number one, what is that experience like? I'm sure it's, you know, similar to all the other, you know, experiences that you've had with deceased spirits, but what has that been like? Have they been challenging? And who were your favorite that you'd spoken to?
So how it started was my business partner, Alexa, is just like the, she's like a great combination of a five-year-old child and a scientist, right? She wants to do all of the things and then also like replicate it. And can we make this happen consistently, right? Mm-hmm. So she asked me in the very beginning if I could connect to, I know that she worked in the music industry, particularly in the rave scene. And she asked me if I could connect to a DJ. And I thought this DJ was her friend that had passed away. It turns out, no, it was a very famous DJ. I can't remember his name right now. Oh gosh, I forget because he's so sweet. His real name is Tim. But I told her like how he died. And it was just like a conversation like any other person. But I told her how he died. And I told her like facts about him that I had no idea who he was. And she was like, oh my God, like you're really connecting to him. And I was like, yeah. And so that's how we got into the celebrities, because it was like, if you connect to this person, then why can't you connect to Elvis?
Right.
So once I got past my own ego of, I don't know if I'm worthy enough to talk to Elvis or Gandhi or whoever, and took it more of an approach of, if they don't want to talk to me, they won't talk to me. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I've had celebrities be like, that's not going to happen. I'm not talking to you. I've also had celebrities not show up and I'm like, okay, good. So my favorites, one of my favorites is Gandhi. I like Gandhi. I like him for what he said. Like his information was very, very profound. But also at the time, I was recording the podcast from my cell phone. And so I was walking around outside and there was this big dog that was looking like he was going to attack me. Mm-hmm. And Gandhi went over to the dog and put his head on the dog and was like calm, like just said something. I forget what he said. And the dog just lay down and let me walk right past him. And I was like, okay, that was very cool. What just happened? So he holds a little special place in my heart.
Well, I think that's very, it is definitely very special. And I was initially wondering if you've met like any resistance from any, you know, celebrities in particular who just really were like, not down with this. This is, you know, strange here. And
yes, I have 100%. So Robin Williams did not want to talk to me. It took me years to convince him to speak to me. Years. I don't know why. And then I have had, we have tried to connect to Harriet Tubman, but she freaked out. And so I was like, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to offend you. And so then we've had, who else? We tried to connect to Queen Elizabeth. She was, she's exactly how you imagine her to be, right? Like, yeah. Who else? I think there's a different level of people tolerating me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And the interviews are like Queen Elizabeth tolerated me for like 10 minutes. So that's how long that interview was. And then she was done. Nikola Tesla, we talked to him. He was kind of pervy, very inappropriate. So
that is interesting.
It was wild. That was a weird one.
Yeah. So when you are, you know, performing your work or conducting your work and you're calling upon these spirits, how are you calling upon these spirits? I guess, you know, what's kind of like a little bit of your method? Are you seeing them like walk through doors? Are they being escorted by other guides and whomever? Is that how they appear? Or
so what I do is I ask for a first and last name. Sometimes depending upon the situation, usually with celebrities, it'll be a picture, right, that I have of them, like their famous iconic picture. And I raise my vibration. So that's kind of a secret, not so secret, that a lot of mediums do. You might not be aware that we're doing it. So if you see mediums that are writing things down, if you see mediums that are playing with crystals, playing with cards, all of that is, you're just moving energy around. So you're finding a way to raise your vibration. And the reason you do that is because the spirit has to lower their vibration and we have to raise our vibration. So you meet in the middle. So that's why they're called mediums. What I like to do is I like to dance before I do a reading, or I will sing, or basically anything that will get me in a better state of mind as compared to a lower vibration.
Okay. So after you've done like a celebrity interview, or even if you're just giving readings to us lay people, do any of these spirits show up in your dreams at all?
I've had a few spirits show up in my dreams. So actually, the most recent one was I was visiting my girlfriend's family. I was not trying to do readings or at work at all. I was half asleep and I heard a man talking to me audibly, the way that I'm hearing you. And he said, hey, tell her Gordo's here. Gordo's here. Tell her I'm here. Tell her I'm here. And I'm like, what? Go away. Because I thought someone was actually trying to wake me up. I didn't realize that it was a spirit. And I finally like opened my eyes and came to, and I realized, oh, it's a dead person. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I could still hear him. Tell her I said hi. I miss her. Tell her I'm okay. And he was just very eager and very like excited. And he had a speech impediment. And I heard him so visceral, so real. And so I said to my girlfriend, I said, do you know someone named Gordo? And she looked at me very strange. And she used to work with adults with disabilities. And he had a mental disability. And yes, his name was Gordo. He passed. And she's like, is he good? And I'm like, yeah, I think he's fine. He just wants to say hi to you. So.
Oh, I think that's super special, especially when it's super unexpected like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun.
What advice would you give to new practitioners or people who are, you know, who are mediums that are learning and they have a lot of fear and doubt? Like how did you overcome like your doubt about the work that you're doing?
So it's good. Good question. One, the fear is that you are in control. It's just like a conversation. You're in control as long as you protect your energy, as long as you do the things that, you know, clearing your energy, grounding your energy, you're doing all of those things. It's not like it's going to overtake you and like Holy Wonder or something crazy like that. I think there's a lot of Hollywood fear around it, and a lot of which are tied into really deep-seated religious fears, right? So that's the fear aspect, the being wrong aspect or being incorrect. There will come a time where you're wrong. There will come a time where you're incorrect. And I think that it's actually really toxic of a psychic medium to assume that you're never going to be wrong, because that opens up the door for a lot of misconception and guru mentality.
Yeah.
And that is not okay. So I tell people that one of the things I usually tell people what to expect in a reading. And one of the things I say is, if there's something that I say to you that doesn't feel true to you, or it doesn't feel like it makes sense, I want you to tell me, because that means that I have misinterpreted the information that I'm getting, or that it might not make sense right now. So, and then if it really doesn't make sense, if it doesn't stick with this person and the person's like, I don't know what to do with this information, then that's a different conversation that we've had. I've only had that happen 3 times, but there are times where maybe I'm having an off day. I'm still a human too.
Right.
But what I always tell people is that if someone, a psychic or a medium or anybody, tells you something and that information doesn't feel true to you, do not stick with it. Do not hold it. Let it go. And then I always tell students that I teach, if you have a fear of being wrong, that is something that you need, your ego needs to get over that, because you will be wrong.
Definitely. Very good, solid, helpful advice. You're also a channeler and you channel Arcturian energy. So how did this come about? Because you see, well, at least for me, maybe because I probably watched too many videos on YouTube, God help me, but it seems like channeling is becoming commonplace in society. And how did this come about for you? But also, how did you get contacted by this energy?
So it's so funny, because if you were to ask me 7 years ago, do you believe in aliens? I probably would have told you, no, like very, like very scared. I don't want to talk to them. They don't talk to me. Like, let's just let it be. So it was that feeling of, I know they're out there, I know they're real, I just don't want to make contact. So how it happened is, I was giving my business partner a reading, because that's what we did a lot in the beginning. I would give her a reading and she wasn't understanding something I was saying. I don't remember what I was saying. And I heard someone, now I'm in a reading, so for me to hear things is not abnormal, but I heard someone say, move the phone like this. And so that way I could not hear what she was saying. She could only hear what I was saying. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved the phone and I said something, but when I said it, I sounded like a man. And when I said it, it didn't feel like me. It felt like something had jumped into my body, spoken through me, and then jumped back out. So I said a sentence, sounded like a guy, and then started crying. And she was like, what just happened? And I was crying and I was like, I don't know, but it felt like I got electrocuted. I don't know what just happened. And so, again, going back into her scientific mind, can we replicate this? Let's do a controlled situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started talking to this energy, and for about a year, I would communicate with them while they were outside of my body and I was not in a meditative state. And I would just communicate with them that way because it felt safer to me. I didn't want to be gone. I wanted to be more in control.
Right.
And then once I started to establish a relationship with them, it was like, okay, well, now let's move her out of this situation so we can have a clear communication, because it was kind of fumbled. It was like, well, they're telling me this and I don't quite understand it. And this is what's happening. So removing the third party, being me, was easier to bring the communication forward. But then that created some other obstacles, such as when I go into a meditative state to channel, and I'm channeling, Well, not now, but at that time I was gone. Like, I wouldn't remember the conversation. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know what I sound like. I don't know who came forward. I'm not present at all. I could tell you what another planet looks like. I could tell you where I was and what I was seeing and feeling and hearing, but it wasn't anything like what was happening with my body. And then when I came back, the difference between that high feeling of feeling so light and feeling so peaceful and so calm and no care in the world, and then coming back and feeling so heavy and so dense and so sad, I would just break down in tears and be like, I don't want to be back here. And so because I kept feeling like that, that was about a year, and I kept feeling like, I don't want to be here. Oh my gosh, like, this is so heavy. I don't get to leave anymore. I'm very present for the conversations now. Yeah. There's no transition of me like leaving and coming back. So that kind of messed with my head, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. So what did they want? So they picked you for a reason. It's Arcturus, if I am, I don't know where that is in the galaxy, but they're Arcturian energy. So what did they, like, what did they want to say through you as the vehicle? Like, what's their overarching message, or at least what's the trend in their messages?
So the trend in their messages, that's a good question. The trend in their messages are, you are in control of your life. You have the keys to do what you want to do. You are the magic. There is no magic outside of you. Stop looking for something outside of yourself that is going to complete you. And you're creating your own reality. And the really strong thing that comes with that, it's slightly different than Abraham Hicks, because Abraham Hicks does talk about creating your own reality. But Abraham Hicks also talks about, ignore what you don't want to see, right? And don't create that. And they are talking about, well, if you want to create negativity, then create negativity. That's not bad or good. That's neutral. Everything is neutral. And you didn't come here to only experience positivity. You came here to experience humanity. And humanity is negative and positive. It is both. You can't have one without the other.
So what do they think about the, I'm just going to say it, like, the ascension of Earth, or changes that are, you know, global? They, you know, do they ever talk about there being some sort of transition period that the Earth is like going through?
So they actually, in 2019, freaked everybody out that we were working with privately, because they told us the pandemic was going to happen. And when, like, before that happened, we were all like, okay, well, are we going to still be here? Like, are we going to, what are you trying to say? Are we going to die? And they laughed and they were like, no, you're not going to die. Like, humans are going to continue on to exist for many, many, many years. You don't have to worry about that. But it will push you into a new era of trusting yourself. You're going to have to make those judgments about other people that are very close to you, and judgments for yourself that other people won't agree with. So you have to really trust yourself, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what your outside reality looks like. And the current state of the world. So they have been talking about, we always do like end of the year wrap up, and then we do beginning of the year, what to expect this year. And in 2022, they were like, if you do not start living from your authentic truth, 2023 will be miserable. You will not, it will be a very hard year for you to get through if you are not true to yourself. And so they've been talking about, in order for change to happen, things have to crumble, things have to fall apart.
Yeah.
And so we're in the process of the falling apart. And so it's going to look like a roller coaster. It's going to look like, okay, things are going great. Oh, it's getting worse. And just keep understanding that it hasn't gotten as bad as it's going to get. And it hasn't gotten as good as it's going to get. You're still on the ride. So it's not going to smooth out for a while. So stop trying to get it to smooth out. And then they really harp on, you didn't come here to have an easy experience. You came here to experience the contrast.
I think that's a super important message for people, because sometimes I really do think, and of course I believe in the law of attraction, and I know that, you know, it's real, but I do think that sometimes there's a tendency to only focus on, you know, what can I get, you know, what's for me, and not thinking that, yeah, well, the challenge is also for you.
Yeah.
The difficulty exactly. is for you as well, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's interesting because I think we all want just ease and happiness and all of that, right? But you're not going to really appreciate the ease and happiness if you don't have the contrast.
Exactly. So I wanted to ask as well, because I was curious, since you've been contacted by, you know, the Arc 9, have you been contacted by other ET energy, or is this, you know, is this your home group?
It's my home group, but I have been contacted by other aliens. So it's embarrassing. I don't tell people this story. I don't know why I'm going to tell you, but here we are. I was going to channel the Galactic Federation, but I freaked out. And basically the arc, because my voice changed, like everything was very different. The answers, everything was different. And the arc, not, I almost started having a panic attack. And when I'm communicating with them, they can control my body. So they can control my body temperature, my heart rate, like all of it. Right. And they had to lower my heart rate and calm me down. And I remember hearing them almost, I don't remember exactly what they said, but it was similar to like, calm down, like chill. We vouched for you. Can you be cool, please? And it was just very funny. Like,
don't embarrass us.
Exactly. Like, do not embarrass us in front of these people. So that was funny. I have intuitively seen grays. That was cool. They're very nice. Very, the small grays are like, very children-like. I don't remember seeing or working with Pleiadians or Lyrans or any other like galactic beings, but I have worked with, goddesses and, Thoth regularly. And Thoth is an intense one.
And where do, I know this is kind of like a dumb question, because I don't know, I'm trying to conceptualize this in my mind, and it's, you know, I don't know how to even do that. But when you say things like, or when you're referring to like, you know, goddesses and what have you, where do they reside? And I don't mean in a literal place, but,
right,
you know, where do they reside?
That's a good question. I've never asked. I don't know, because it's always been like, okay, down to business. Here's the questions. I don't want to waste our time, which is really funny. I would imagine it's kind of like the ethers, like just kind of like the astral plane everywhere, right?
Yeah.
That's how it's explained to me. But also, I don't think it's as linear as like, okay, so this one individual I'm working with, and I can't work with any other individuals. It's similar. It feels like a blanket, like covering a lot of ground at one time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's very fascinating. Well, I'm going to release you, because I know we've been here for a while, and I'm so glad that you came to the show today, and it's been fun. And if people want to connect with you, how can they find you?
So you could go to my website, ambrosiamatthews.com, with two T's. And I am on Instagram, Ambrosia Matthews Intuitive. I'm on TikTok, Ambrosia Matthews 7. I don't know why I picked 7. I did. But you can follow me on all of my platforms or reach out to me. That would be great.
And do you have any promotions as well?
Yes. So one of the things I do is teach new intuitives that are working with this energy and want to do different things. I have a 12-week online course. I also do retreats for women that are interested in working with their intuitive abilities or just wanting an escape from reality. That's all on my website. And if I will give your audience a promotion if you guys want it. If you want to book a reading with me, I'll give you 15% off if you use the code podcast.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining me. This was super fun. And yes, have a great rest of your evening.
You too. Thank you so much for letting me be here.